Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pony Development Sync for August 22nd, year 2023. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call would like to say their names so that people listening along to the recording later can associate a name to the voice, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Sean Allen.
Hey, I'm Lord.
Adrian Boyko.
Dipin Hora.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Let's begin with our auto-generated agenda. We have a fair bit of pull requests, many of them related to Cirrus CI Fallout. Where would you like to begin, Sean?
Let's just start at the top and work our way down.
Sounds good. Okay, so in the odilang/apdirs subdirectory, we have a pull request for get macOS pull request test working. This is a simple change that is being more specific about the versions here. Yep, I don't see any issue with that.
We don't have a release version of the new macOS tools right now, but we have nightlies until we do the first release. So this switches it over to using those and everything will be good.
And that is, we don't need to discuss issue ticket 47 in the same repo, I assume, because it's just what that pull request is meant to get to resolve.
Yep.
All right. In the PonyLang/contributors repo, we have pull request 22 update to account.
Yes, good. Squash. Oh, you approved. Okay, I see. Yep. All right.
In the PonyLang/contributors repo, pull request 22, update to account for move from Cirrus CI. So, yeah, this is changing documentation that we have that describes how our CI works. And, it's changed to describe the new ways that our CI works and removing Cirrus CI from that list.
I'd forgotten I opened this one. I'll merge that. All right.
Yep. In the PonyLang/library documentation action v2, we have pull request 7, which is remove untagged private images. This one seems interesting. So every night we create a new latest image, which leaves a lot of junk behind in the GitHub package UI. There's hundreds of older and never to be used former most recent nightly image. Each is untagged and won't ever be used again if it was ever used. This commit adds a step in the nightly creation workflow to delete all untagged such images except the most recent. We'll leave one as it's possible something might reasonably be in the process of pulling down latest while we're doing the deletion and don't want to whack any layers that might be needed for that. And also removes a ton of noise and stops wasting storage space. Okay, sounds nice. So we have a new job called prune untagged images. It uses the actions/delete package versions action and Zulip send message action if there's a failure. Very nice. Approved. In the Pony C repo, pull request 4410 for remove Windows CI from Cirrus CI to GitHub Actions.
Yeah, we were getting hung up on getting the LLDB stuff to work. So I'm trying to get it to work without the LLDB right now. The previous run before I tweaked a thing, it was an hour and 50 minutes into running the test with the debug runtime and still hadn't finished. I'm hoping that I'm going to try a couple things out to see if they can bring that time down. Depending on what I find, I will probably talk to Gordon and be like, why do you think this brought the time down?
All right. Well, I see that Gordon's already approved, but do you want to put a do not merge label on this?
Yeah, because
it's already a draft. Okay, never mind.
It's far from done. I don't know why I put Gordon on it to review. I think it was probably for the Does this seem like a reasonable approach? But I don't remember because I did a lot of things today. Because it's definitely not done yet.
Cool. Great. Let's move on then to delete untagged standard lib builder images, pull request 4408. That's a step that runs after each update for the tagged standard library builder images, which will delete all untagged builders. We should never need any of these. They're noise for us in the UI and are waste storage for GitHub. This is again using the delete package versions action. Same way with sending to Zulip on failure, very consistent.
The only difference is this one doesn't keep any untagged versions because this is only ever used internally to this repo, and there's no way for how we're using it for there to be a ships passing in the night sort of moment.
Yeah. Okay. That one is approved as well. Test updating to Alpine 3.18. This is pull request 4407. It's a draft.
This one actually needs to have
exec bits. Info. Yeah.
this needs to have 2 bits of conversation.
I remember this exec info going away thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that we could spend a lot of work getting it so that it works with both. Let's just call it right now Alpine 3.16, which requires exec info, and Alpine 3.17, which doesn't, right? Where the Pony C that we build would have to be able to note which it is and do the correct inclusion or lack of inclusion of the exec info library in the compiling a Pony program. Given that May next year, 3.16 will no longer be supported, that doesn't seem worth it to me. And I think we should just go ahead and say for the pre-built ones and all of this, and for what we support, we do 3.17 and later, and somebody could always patch it if they wanted to for 3.16 and maintain on their own.
Thumbs up. Which I also commented in the ticket.
And there's one other thing, but does anybody disagree with that? I think it'd be kind of a mess to even try to figure out which Alpine a particular compiler got installed on when it's building. I'm going to take that as a no. So as part of this, there is a deprecation warning that comes up when we build the Docker file. You can see if we do the use pep 517, it goes away. It's commented on here in this. I don't know if we actually care to get rid of the deprecation file, deprecation warning. This should mean that this is not going to break in the future on us sometime when we go to update the builder. On the other hand, there might be some other solution to the breakage other than doing this at that point in the future. So this might be premature to do. I dropped it in and figured we could discuss it.
What is PEP 517?
It is the thing which the deprecation warning tells you need to do in order to make the deprecation warning go away.
PEP 517, a build system independent format for source trees. Distutil and setup tutils have taken us a long way. They suffer from three serious problems. Okay, so this is changing. I'm just not sure what this is changing. Do you have an understanding of what this flag does besides getting rid of the deprecation warning?
Nope.
Okay. I mean, so just so I'm clear, the previous behavior was PEP 517, and now the new behavior, like, so that behavior is being deprecated, but if you want to keep the old behavior, you use PEP 5, you use this flag, right?
Yes, which will allow for the Cloudsmith CLI to continue to be installed based on whichever of its transitive dependencies had an issue. I can't remember which one it is. On the other hand, that might very well be fixed by something going forward, in which case this would be potentially problematic, right? We could do this to get rid of the deprecation. I'm leaning towards we don't do this, but I wanted to discuss it.
So we're expecting that whatever transitive dependency Cloudsmith CLI has will eventually remove, they'll update their own code to make this deprecation unnecessary.
I would hope so. The only reason to put this in would be that if they don't before it's fully poof, then it won't break when we go to build a new one of these images. On the other hand, it has the chance of, well, does using PEP 517 then create some other issues in the future, right?
Yeah, I think taking it out, I think leaving the flag out is probably what I would agree with. I don't feel strongly about it, but I would say that it's probably less error prone to leave the flag out.
That was my thought as well, but I wanted to bring it up after looking into it because, you know, when you build a thing and there's a big giant red deprecation warning, you at least go look into it a little.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will update this, and this will be fully opened and up to date within a couple days, this PR.
All right. Looking next at update documentation for actor and scheduler statistics. This is 4406 in the PonyC repo. It wasn't clear that you need a runtime compiled to support the statistics prior to this change. And yes, that is important to make clear. Yes, agreed. Approved.
Bring in merging.
4405, increase pony check test timeout. This was the thing we discussed last week.
Yep, and Matthias is still looking into it.
Okay, so do you want to leave this off and not discuss it any further here?
Yeah, we'll leave it off for now.
We already beat the dead horse to the... We beat the dead pony? I don't know.
I would say for the other couple things that are in... Let's do the other stuff, and then we can come back if we have time to talk about the 4369 boom stuff. And then the two issues are related to PRs that are open anyway.
All right. So moving on to the PonyLang/PonyLang-website repo, we have the pull request 878, remove CRCI from sponsors. They are no longer providing us with free services, and we're not using them. Approved. Temporarily drop macOS on Apple Silicon as a fully supported platform. This is Pony Up, pull request 258. As discussed, we cannot have it fully supported when we don't have CI for it, but we intend to bring it back in Q4 of 2023 or whenever GitHub Actions does follow through on adding support for GitHub hosted Apple Silicon runners. Approved. PonyLang/shared Docker repo. This is pull request 54. Put shared images in both GitHub Container Registry and Docker Hub. Sean says, we're going to transition away from Docker Hub as the open source plan limits the number of admin users, meaning we have to maintain different access lists for committers and juggle committer access as we can't ever have more than three accounts. This commit updates our existing builders to push to both GitHub Container Registry and Docker Hub. I did the changes in a way that will make it easy to delete large chunks of build and push scripts once we drop Docker Hub. Okay, so this is, it seems like this is basically, we temporarily have both for the transition period, and then we remove Docker Hub, right?
Yep, I was thinking I would transition all of our things that are either used just internally by us or by others over. And then some date that we pick, either December 1 or January 1, we drop them.
Yep. Sounds good. Yeah, I think at this point, Docker Hub is rather inferior to GCR. I agree.
And this, because this, if you'll note in here, this also has stuff for pruning untagged images for things yep. which are no longer used for the nightlies, which is just yep. nice as well for navigating the UI.
Yeah.
Yeah. I intentionally did these so when we go through, we should basically be able to just highlight a section of the build script and just delete it. And that should be what needs to happen. The Docker Hub section just gets deleted from each one.
Yeah, and then remove the login to Docker Hub as well.
Yep, and then it's done.
Cool.
Yeah, I tried to make it as least likely to be errorful when updating, when doing it as possible. So what do you think? December 1 sound good for when we drop it? Just in case there are people who are good. Not us using it? All right. And I'll work towards that.
Sounds good. Did someone else start to say something? Okay. Moving on to talking about 4369 boom. This is an issue ticket in the Pony C repo we've been talking about for several weeks. A weird segmentation fault that happens under weird various conditions. Spooky action at a distance seeming conditions within the LLVM IR and the debug info. And if Sean removes debug info for one variable, it suddenly starts working again, which is very spooky. I wouldn't expect that to have any behavior at all on the program. But here we are.
Yep, and there's a PR 4401, which is for playing around with it, and that branch has some stuff where I've been playing around with it. You have the LLVM IR, Joe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you and I can discuss that more. As far as I can tell, it would be cool if somebody else wants to look as well. I did for the good and bad versions, right? Of which is basically, do we put in the local declaration debug on the T1 variable, right? I put what I found for the difference in the assembly as well, right?
Oh,
I'm here on 4401, and to quote Sylvan, what the fuck? This should be functionally equivalent. Yet, clearly, apparently, it isn't. So it's possible that I missed something else in the assembly, but this is what I found that's different.
I see no difference other than labels. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But that's what I found.
Does something jump to those labels? Specifically, is anything jumping to the LTEMP 5 label? Because that is a different spot that it's jumping to.
Yes, I think that's it. I haven't had time to look into it further. But I suspect we're going to find something jumping to the L5 label.
Mm-hmm.
The LTEMP 5 label. Otherwise, this makes no fucking sense. Or if L25 is also supposed to go, that would have to be what it is, right? I mean, that's the only thing. Either I missed something or things are jumping there and they need that move.
Yeah.
Which could then result in probably some really friggin' weird behavior like what we're seeing. And it would then become, how on earth does it even end up like this?
Yeah. And so I guess, At some point, we'll probably need to try to like see if this can reproduce outside of the Pony compiler by taking the bad LLVM IR and
I think taking the good and bad IR that we spit out, right? And seeing if they're still good and bad when using the LLVM command line tools to link it would be a good thing. And I think beyond that, then, I mean, we're basically at that point, if we want to keep pursuing this, we are into the realm of debugging as it optimizes, trying to figure out what the hell has gone bad. But we know that it's like three things coming together to cause this to happen. So that
can
might
you
be
refresh me on like what optimization level the bad happens at?
Sure. If we do for the target machine, which is CPU specific optimizations, if we do none for it rather than less, or the happy path, which normally gets used, which is default. So if we have none, then it happens. So long as we also are using a optimization level for the actual LLVM optimizations, which is anything above zero. And so if we do none on one side and one or above on the other, we get this. If we do none on the first side and none on and zero on the second side, it's also good, because this is the thing on the second side, which is triggering whatever this is some inlining, which happens. There's inlining, which happens for level zero for the LLVM. And then there's additional inlining, which happens for one and above. And it is something that happens as a result of the inlining for one or above, combined with the lack of any optimization for the target machine, which causes this problem.
And I'm just thinking about the tool chain you'll need locally for this. After we do the LLVM optimizations, like at, for example, at level one or above, the LLVM IR that we emit is the optimized IR, correct? We do, right? Yeah.
The so LLVM IR that we emit is the optimized.
I think it is. Should be.
I'm not positive on that. You mean after it's gone through the optimization step?
Yes, I believe that. Yeah, because if you use different optimization levels there, you can see the difference in the IR.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But it comes before the machine code level, obviously. So yeah, you won't need to use. So LLVM has a local toolchain CLI program called OPT that you can use for those LLVM IR optimizations, but I don't think you'll need that because you already have it done in the IR that you have. So I think this is just about using LLC, I guess that's what it's called. Yeah, LLC, limited liability company. Using LLC with like O0 is probably going to mimic that last step. Yep, and they have a dash. I'm looking at the documentation for LLC. They have a dash capital O equals zero for corresponding to that level, I think. And then that would produce a object file that you could link with either Clang front-ending the linker or link with the linker yourself, probably. Does Clang actually let you feed in LLVM IR? I think it does. I think you don't need to use LLC. You could probably just use Clang to directly feed in the LLVM IR and the libpony runtime and tell it O0. I think that would work. as long as your clang that you're using is at that level or above. Clang needs to be at the same LLVM version as you use to compile Pony C or above. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, and if you are free on Friday, I think we should spend some time talking through this some more and looking
Sounds
at
good.
Things and seeing.
Currently, I am free at that time. Yeah.
Let me see something. Is there something going to? Because it stopped at that point. Where's my bad? What was it? It was L. Yes, LTEMP 5, that label.
All right. So I've got to run a little bit early today. Should I leave the meeting going for everyone to talking about any other remaining topics? Does anybody have further topics to discuss? Okay. Well, then thanks everyone for joining, and thanks for those listening along to the recording later. We'll see you next week. Bye.